Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at coda.com.
Content warning. This episode contains discussions of sexual assault and harassment and suicide. Listener discretion is advised. When their loved one vanished from one of the largest military bases in the country, this Texan family refused to be silent. What began as a desperate search soon turned into a national call for justice and a promise that her legacy would protect others who serve. This week's episode is The Disappearance of Vanessa Guillen, Part 2.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Thanks everybody for the feedback on part one and for folks who sent their stories into Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Sorry that you had everybody. Them just in then, but yeah.
Yeah, we have learned that it's Vanessa's story is unfortunately not an anomaly. This happens all too frequently. And we'll discuss in this episode today all of the changes that are hopefully underway to prevent things like this from happening in the future.
For sure. Changes made and hopefully that won't be unmade right before our very eyes. But before we get into all that, we've got so many things coming up. It's a spooky month, so that means we've got spooky things on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I'm sure you've heard us talk about, but that you've got to get it before it flies away into the night on its broomstick is Season of the Witch, which is streaming on demand only through Halloween. So you only have a couple days left to watch it.
Yeah. And it was such a fun time. And not just fun, but legit educational and not in a beat you over the head with it type of way. You know, it's not like we all had to sit through class and learn about something. Like, this was really interesting things that you could just throw out at Halloween parties. Like, hey, did you actually know the history of witches? And then you have a group sat just listening to you for an hour and a half.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, you know, we might get you a couple of directions on how you can help us turn the wheel of time in the right direction.
The wheel is still turning.
It's still turning. We're going to turn the helm of the ship, I think, at our cruise that we're fixing.
I'm
going to
ask. Very least, I'm asking.
Can I come to the bridge? Can I touch the wheel? And they're like, yes and no. I cannot. But we're
no
talking about
and also no.
Come aboard the ship, the Royal Caribbean cruise ship with us for Crime Wave at Sea. It is the True Crime Festival at Sea with us, Henry and Ed from Last Podcast, Dan and Linz from Scared to Death, and so many more of your favorite creators, friends, and all the best things of a cruise. So I think they sent a message that it was sold out, and then they sent another message a couple days later that they, like, I don't know if why or how they ended up getting a couple more rooms, but it was like, the text was literally like, we have four rooms. It was only four. So
get them while you can. It's going to be a super fun time. I was just talking about all the outfits for the themed parties with my mom, and she was giving me some ideas for murder at the Met Gala.
Heck yeah, man. We're excited. So yeah, go to our website at sinisterhood.com/live shows and get the info on both of those. And then stream with us. We're doing two more fun Patreon theme streams this month. this tonight, as you're listening to this, Wednesday, October 22nd, 8:30 p.m. Central, we're doing our bonus content live stream where we do our, you know, weekly Patreon bonus content, but we do it for you on a live stream. You watch us record it and you get to interact with us in the chat. And you all chose, the topic is, am I the spooky asshole, which is I pulled so many. It's going to be so much fun. I got to cut them down or something. Or it's just going to be like a 3-hour stream because I was
A 3-hour asshole.
Three-hour hole. I'm like, this hole is so good. I cannot leave it. So see which ones make the cut tonight at 8:30 on Patreon. And then next Thursday, Halloween Eve, we're having a movie
watch along.
Yeah, the Devil's Night, I think some people have called it. I was like, I didn't know it was called that, but come on down at 10.
Calling it the Devil's Night.
8:30 Central on October 30th. We're going to watch a movie and make fun of it. So come join us on Patreon.
Still figuring out which one. We need your help on Patreon deciding what we're going to vote on. So is it going to be the Jack Black Goosebumps that Simon was just watching that I was like, oh my God, this is so creepy.
Like, how are you watching this, kid?
He's dude. Like,
it's a tough one.
Between, story of my life.
Him watching that and Ella's beautiful street art, I think.
Oh, my Lord.
The spookiest kids on the block.
She just, yeah. I'm glad I picked that day to have everything I'd ordered delivered, too. And now I'm like, I know why on our Ring camera, the UPS guys were just tossing it, tossing the packages. She had a full artist interpretation of Pennywise chalk drawing.
Yes.
With speech bubbles, one of which said, Georgie, you were so yummy. And then the other one was like, and you'll be yummy too. She's never even seen the movie, watched the book, reverse that. But she knows all about it.
Oh, man, I love it. You know what? Pennywise is inside you. You just know. You know. Oh, man. Well, it's that time of year, I guess. I'm finally feeling more and more into the spooky season. So,
well, good. The temperatures are dropping, so it's becoming a little bit easier, and hopefully they continue to drop.
Most definitely. Well, we have got our resolution. In some ways, like we said up top, a resolution and an ongoing fight for the Guillens as we close this out.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. On June 30th, civilian crews had found partial remains in a well-concealed burial site. The family of missing Fort Hood soldier Vanessa Guillen grappled with the news as authorities worked to identify the remains. That evening, around 8:30 p.m., investigators re-interviewed Aaron Robinson's girlfriend, Cecily Aguilar. Aguilar was married to another soldier on base, but had been fraternizing with Robinson. She admitted to their relationship and then dropped a bombshell. On April 22nd, Robinson admitted that he struck a female soldier in the head with a hammer multiple times in the arms room, killing her on base at Fort Hood. Aguilar told investigators Robinson then placed his victim in a box and moved the box to a location near the Leon River. Later, he picked Aguilar up at a gas station where she worked and took her out to a site near a bridge at the river. There, she saw a box with wheels and handles already at the site. When Robinson opened it, Aguilar told investigators she saw a dead female inside the box, whom she later identified as Vanessa Guillen.
This is very heart-wrenching for the family because the investigators knew Aaron Robinson. The investigators knew Cecily Aguilar. They had talked to both of them before. And as we will discuss shortly, this is not even the Keystone Cops. It's like the junior, you know, literally like the fresh out of the academy. Like, what do we do? I don't know. I talked to him. All right. Might as well let him go.
Yeah.
So the fact that all this information had been available at the time they had already spoken to her and none of it had come out already, her family, as they've expressed multiple times, were just so frustrated and devastated. I mean, just tortured for weeks when they didn't have to.
Yeah. Every way you look at it, they failed her. Not one thing was really done properly in this investigation.
No.
In that interview and subsequent ones, Aguilar told agents that in order to more easily dispose of and to conceal the body, she and Robinson dismembered Vanessa using a hatchet or axe and a machete-type knife. Aguilar was not more specific. The couple tried to burn the remains, but Vanessa's body would not burn completely. Instead, they placed her in three separate holes and covered up her remains.
At no point did I hear in any of this that Cecily Aguilar was held at knife point, at gunpoint, that she had been threatened, that she was afraid for her life. At all points, it's sort of a
willing participant.
Yes. She's sort of just going, and then we did this, and then we did this next. And I don't know that she's proud of it, but you certainly were willing to do it when you are taken to, you know, it's one thing if he just is like, I hit a female soldier in the head. You were still at work, lady. You didn't have to go with him from work. Mm-mm. Call 911 and be like, I'm with the guy I'm not really supposed to be with, first of all, because that's will get you kicked out of the army. You can sexually harass people, but don't cheat on your wife.
Don't cheat on your wife that you've married, though.
Seriously. And don't have sex with anybody else's wife. And it seems to me that she could have said no at a lot of different points in this.
Yeah, it's extra upsetting that they're were people, one more willing to come forward than another during this entire time that could have brought closure to her family and chose not to.
Yeah. And I think the a huge issue is that the perhaps a seasoned law enforcement professional who was a member of the Texas Rangers, somebody that worked for the FBI, clean homicide detective, would know the questions to ask, the pressure points to put on Aguilar versus the, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed newbies going, so did you talk to him that night? And it's like, yeah, we went and looked at the stars. And it's like, okay, well, she said they looked at the stars, so I guess nothing to see here. And it's like,
we're just going to take her word at face value? Yeah, like push a little harder. It's nothing. Not adding up. I mean, people with zero training, myself included, could see like this isn't adding up. But which is why it makes you wonder, like, were they really just that incompetent? Or were they also being told, you know what, maybe don't push too hard?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's like they're really incompetent. And if you wanted to push hard, you could have given them supervisors, people with experience to help them. But instead it was like, they're handling it. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever the investigation says. On it.
Mm-hmm. It's like the same day Vanessa was found, on June 30th, Robinson had been restricted on post for breaking COVID protocols and placed under watch. Army SID leaders never informed the soldier monitoring Robinson that he was, in fact, a suspect in Vanessa's death. Robinson was allowed to keep his phone during the restrictions. Investigators had Aguilar place a controlled call to Robinson. As the couple talked, Robinson never denied what they had done. A recording of their June 30th phone call captured his chilling words.
Baby, they found pieces.
Robinson was not arrested immediately.
Again, didn't take his phone from him. They didn't even do downloads of his phone until multiple weeks later. Digital downloads of their computer devices allowed Cecily to help him delete stuff in the interim. And the fact that he's locked down because he broke COVID protocols, he's not locked down because he's a suspect in a murder.
No, I think, though, too, they were trying to, quote unquote, investigate, but also not spook him. So they were like, if we just tell him it's COVID and if we take his phone, he's going to be, we don't want him to run. Spoiler alert. He does anyways. But so we'll just like let him have his phone and everything to try and placate him. But you don't tell the people watching him, hey, by the way, this is what's really happening. So then the guy stationed watching him in just some room just gets up and leaves. So, you know, now it's just anybody can do anything they want.
Yeah, it was a lot of mistakes piled on mistakes piled on. Well, somebody's in charge. And it's like, no. And in fact, the person who the special agent in charge that did have experience that worked the entire case before this happened left. He got a transfer to another base. So he was in the middle of an active investigation, one of the most high profile criminal investigations that the military has had to handle, just given the amount of media attention. And due to he was transferred, he left in the middle of it. So it's also, like I said, it could be nefarious, but I truly think it was everybody was kind of going, well, somebody was looking. It's like, no, they weren't.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Have you heard that more people now consume cannabis than alcohol? Maybe it's because there's no hangover. Whatever the reason, Cornbread Hemp launched these incredible THC seltzers, which if you've been on Sunday's Carries, you know we fucking love. And I've tried like 10 THC seltzers every time, and every time I'm like, not a cornbread.
Yeah.
Dump it out.
Cornbread is the best. I've tried a lot. And let me tell you, not just from the packaging to the taste is an experience. Like the can, I love just the feel of it. Their marketing's great. But for real, the flavor can't be beat. Sometimes you get a THC seltzer and you're like, yikes, that is too much of something that I don't like. But with the cornbread ones, the raspberry,
Raspberry, lime, fucking salted watermelon.
Ooh, all of them. Blueberry. We had blueberry on the Sunday Scaries out of our Declaration of Independence glasses. It was lovely.
It's funny that to the point that we're like, which flavors do you have? Can I get over there and get one of those? Yeah, like, we're what trading are you doing? Them. Yeah, we're like trading them back and forth. They're so good. And they really
the peach iced tea is my favorite.
Oh, man, I just feel like chill when I drink them. I don't get heartburn. I don't feel sick. I just feel nice and chill. And I do not have a hangover. Mm-mm. And it tastes so good, and it's so dangerous because it tastes so good. I want to drink so many.
Finally, a THC seltzer that actually tastes good and feels great. With just 30 calories and 5 grams of sugar, it's a low-key, all-natural way to unwind. No synthetics, no weird ingredients. Each can has 5 milligrams of pure THC, so you'll feel relaxed without getting couch-locked or paranoid. Perfect for sunny days, chill nights, and skipping the hangover. Flavors like blueberry breeze, peach iced tea, raspberry limeade, and salted watermelon seal the deal.
It's hard to have a favorite. They're all so good. Mm-hmm. I took an entire case to my 20th high school reunion because I was like, I'm not going in this one, Ross.
Hell no.
Nope. Get you some cornbread, y'all. Right now, Sinisterhood listeners can save 30% on their first order. Nice. Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/creepy and use code creepy at checkout. That's cornbreadhemp.com/creepy. Use code creepy.
Late in the evening of June 30th, Robinson bolted from his barracks, dodging the unarmed unit guards, and was gone in the night. In the early hours of July 1st, police and U.S. Marshals spotted him walking about 6 miles from base in nearby Killeen. When they moved in, Aaron Robinson drew a handgun and shot himself before he could be taken into custody. That same morning, Texas Rangers and federal agents arrested Cecily Aguilar. On July 2nd, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District of Texas filed a criminal complaint charging her with conspiracy to tamper with evidence. The complaint provided a clear but grim investigative timeline. It memorialized the day-by-day steps that began the moment a captain from the 3rd Cavalry Regiment notified Sid on April 23rd that Vanessa had been reported missing. The complaint compiled the interviews and digital traces. Multiple witnesses had seen Robinson moving the, quote, tough box. Robinson and Aguilar had exchanged frantic early morning calls to one another.
I think they just had her, even with just the indictment, they at least had her on the nose for deleting evidence and making those calls and having admitted that she had been there. And that's one of those where they charge you with something, a single count, and it's like, but hold on, there's probably 5 or 6 more coming.
Yeah, and, you know, when the person that was the most responsible for it dies by their own hand, well, you don't have that person to go after anymore. So perhaps additional charges get lumped onto Aguilar because she's the only one left now.
100%. And she can't offer, well, I'll give you all the information on Robinson so he can get convicted. They're like, we don't need that. And I know for the family, it has to be just a huge, huge disappointment that the true, like you said, the one that's truly responsible gets a very quick end.
Yeah, he did. Not only did he get a quick end, but he got to live his life for months without, before that even happened. Over the July 4th weekend, the identification process moved quickly. News outlets reported that the remains were positively identified as Vanessa. Fort Hood's acting commander, Major General Scott Efflant, issued condolences and acknowledged the loss plainly to KWTX, saying,
"We all feel her loss."
And calling her
a vibrant young soldier.
The Army also recognized her service with a posthumous promotion to specialist, dated July 1st. However, her family remained understandably upset, stating publicly to reporters and at rallies that they had been misled and lied to by Fort Hood officials throughout the investigation. Officials had referred them to the Privacy Act, which is often used by the military to obscure details in investigations from concerned family members.
And that, I think, also, it probably it came from the fact that nobody knew how to even contact family members. They didn't know how to contact outside law enforcement agencies and say, hey, we need help with this. Like, we don't know, you know, how do we connect with the local, you know, the Texas EquiSearch, stuff like that, where if you had been a seasoned law enforcement pro, you would say, okay, every week we're going to call the family. But if you have this act tied behind when they call you and loudly on the news call for answers, you can say, well, you know, it's a law. We can't really.
Yeah. A lot of, legal loopholes to hide behind. In July of 2020, Aguilar was federally charged with a single count of conspiracy to tamper with evidence in the Western District of Texas for her alleged role in helping conceal Guillen's body. Before she could be indicted, Aguilar and her attorneys filed a motion asserting that her confession obtained on June 30th was inadmissible because law enforcement allegedly did not read her Miranda rights at the outset of the interrogation and that she was being questioned under duress. In June of 2021, a judge held a hearing and ruled that Aguilar's confession would stand, finding that Aguilar
provided the information voluntarily.
Her motion was denied. She remained behind bars as she awaited trial.
Yeah, I can respect wanting to try everything you can for your client, but I do think based on the indictment's description, the report's description, and basically what the investigators were doing, which was very low-key, non-custodial interrogations of like, hey, we just wanted to talk to you for a minute. And like, your alarm should go up and say, I don't want to talk without my lawyer. But if you go, yeah, okay, what do you want to know? Then,
then it's fair game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vanessa's younger sister, Lupe, told Netflix that to her, justice was in part about solving what happened to Vanessa, but
it's also about trying to help the victims.
The Guillens learned from their lawyer that civilians have no standing to make changes to any of the military's policies. Their only option was an act of Congress. Having gone through the hell of losing Vanessa already, the family was poised to take the fight to the nation's capital. Another just complete punch to the gut. I mean, really, when you are just civilians going up against the military in something like this, good luck.
I mean, and that's what they were told at the outset of like, hey, we had some thoughts on how you could maybe improve what happened, given what happened to us. And they're just like, la, 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 la. They're like, who are you? Who are you talking about? You're just a person? It doesn't matter to
we
us.
We don't have any intent on changing things. So just be gone with yourself. After meeting with politicians, traveling to D.C., and telling their story to anyone in power who would listen, their attorneys set up a meeting with President Trump. The Guillen family members asked pointed questions, chiefly, how was it possible for their loved one to be murdered on a domestic military base without any witnesses? They advocated for a law in Vanessa's name to make historic changes to the armed forces and make it easier for victims to report sexual harassment, assault, and abuse. President Trump told them,
if I can help you out with a funeral, I'll help. I'll help you with that. I'll help you out. Financially, I'll help you.
This motherfucker. Everything is just money, and it's just all noise. I don't know. Everything about him is just noise. But when you think, like, of any other president on any side that would have been face-to-face with this family, saying this and not something more, I don't know, compassionate, empathetic, profound, stately, anything, anything.
It was,
it's just like, oh, well, if you need money, I've got money.
Yeah. Throughout the rest of the whole interview with them, he is like, we're going to find what happens. We're going to solve it. We'll solve the whole thing. It'll all be solved. You know, just sort of talking in overarching, like it will be solved. We'll solve the whole, we'll fix it. But it's a huge deal for the family to have gone through what they've gone through. And then, granted, regardless of who occupies the office, the fact that the office of the president is a very exalted and the commander in chief of the very military that has so wronged you, you know, to go and face that person head on is very brave for the family to do, especially I think Lupe was like 16. I mean, just young. And to be able to go and speak in the face of the president is a huge accomplishment for all of her family members.
Absolutely. The family's attorney, Natalie Quam, told him that the military would likely pay for the funeral. President Trump replied,
good, they'll do a military. That's good. If you need help, I'll help you out.
Trump confirmed to reporters that he had personally paid for funerals before, telling the Guillens,
"Maybe you don't need help from a financial standpoint. I have no idea what, I just think it's horrific, the thing that happened. And if you did need help, I'll be there to help you."
Again, it's to be the president and not be able to just complete a thought drives me bananas because you sound so incompetent.
Yeah, it is a huge change in communication style from our prior presidents. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why there are so many edits going around on, maybe it's just my algorithm, social media of like Obama and W. There's a lot of W edits of like...
Of good or bad W good. Edits?
Some funny W edits, but some like when he talks about like, he's like, "I think immigrants are what makes America great." He's like, "I think when someone moves here with nothing and they work hard and they make themselves a valuable member of the community and they work their way up and say this could happen nowhere else but the United States, I say that is exactly right. And that is what this nation is built on." And like, you know, W is someone's like, he was responsible for a lot of war crimes. And yet... humanitarian side, somehow, I don't know.
Somehow he still managed to squeak that out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
After months of national outrage and activism sparked by her disappearance and the discovery of her remains, Vanessa Guillen was finally laid to rest on August 15th, 2020, in a private ceremony near Houston, 2 weeks after her family's White House meeting. While Trump had publicly offered to cover funeral expenses, The Atlantic later reported that he grew angry when presented with the bill, allegedly telling aides,
"It doesn't cost $60,000 to bury a fucking Mexican."
According to the Guillen's family attorney, no payment was ever received from the president, and the expenses were instead covered through a combination of army assistance and community donations.
Of course, the president and his folks later denied that he ever said that, but the sources that were cited from The Atlantic were in the meeting with him allegedly when he got that bill. And it doesn't matter if he said it or not. The Natalie Kwom confirmed that he did not pay. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, would anybody be shocked to hear that that was a direct quote out of his mouth?
No, I don't think so.
No. In fact, that was probably one sentence of a whole rant that he went on.
Right. And it's just one of those, again, the commander in chief of the military, who's literally responsible for the botched investigation of your sister, daughter, family member, given that he's the commander in chief, lies to your face and then just doesn't ever get in trouble for it. It's crazy.
No. And then says something so incredibly heinous, insensitive and racist that it makes me nauseous. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Army offered to bury Vanessa at Arlington National Cemetery, but her family chose to lay her to rest in her hometown of Houston, honoring her wish to remain close to family. The funeral drew hundreds of mourners, including service members, community leaders, and activists who had rallied under the viral slogan, #IAmVanessaGuillen. Following her death, murals honoring Vanessa appeared across the U.S., from Houston's East End to Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. Each mural depicted her in uniform, often surrounded by flowers of the Virgin Mary, symbolizing both resilience and mourning within the Latino community. The hashtag, #IAmVanessaGuillen, became a movement on social media as thousands of service members, past and present, shared their own experiences of sexual harassment and discrimination within the military. It evolved into a grassroots campaign for accountability, transparency, and justice within the armed forces.
I think it was vital that that was conducted aloud on social media where thousands of people could see that it is a insidious and widespread problem. And for the folks that have suffered, several are interviewed in the documentary. And then just the folks that have posted about it have talked about how they felt like they could not come forward without this, you know, because it's a hard thing to just go like, today is the day I'm going to tweet about the time I was sexually assaulted.
Dude.
So to have the platform, it's kind of like when people say with Freaky Friday, like, thank you for letting me have a place to tell a story. Oftentimes to say, hey, tell your story under this hashtag. We all want to feel like there's safety in numbers.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like we've seen with Freaky Friday, the more stories that are shared, the more courage that gives others to come forward with their own story.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Bad habits can lead to bad outcomes, but it doesn't have to be that way. That's where Fume Zero comes in.
This episode is sponsored by Fume Zero, the brand new grab-and-go flavored air device from Fume. Here's why it's different. It's affordable, just $24.99 US for a sleek, pre-filled device, no commitment, no refills, no batteries. It's completely clean. There's zero nicotine, zero vapor, just natural, plant-based flavored air. And it's the first truly easy way to try the good habit. With 6 bold flavors and over 10 days of use, Zero makes it simple to start.
Look,
I have my Zero.
Got here.
Hey,
look what
babe,
I've got right here.
Nice. I've got mine in my car because it's just nice when I just want a little pop of freshness.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes minty fresh and great. Here's the deal. That end of it, it's a little rubber endy. I like to chew on it.
Ooh.
I like to nom. I like to just have it in my mouth. It's part of it.
It's a good little, it's a nice hand feel. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see. It's so cute, too. It's the perfect size. 0% nicotine, 0% vapor, 0% smoke. It even says on here, Heather, chewable soft tip. So you're not the only one who likes that.
Get my gnaw on.
Also made to fidget, and you can twist to adjust airflow. It's great. Great stocking stuffer, too, I would say. Perfect size to put in there for someone that's trying to break a bad habit. You give them something good to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
Take zero chances with Fume Zero today. Available for just $24.99 US dollars. Just head to tryfume.com. That's tryfume.com to start with zero.
That's tryfume.com to start with zero.
In September of 2020, bipartisan lawmakers introduced the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act. The proposed law sought sweeping reform of how the military handled sexual harassment and assault cases by making sexual harassment a standalone crime under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, removing the chain of command from prosecution decisions involving sexual misconduct, creating independent special prosecutors for each brand of service, and granting service members the right to seek damages from the Department of Defense for negligence. Which I guess would now be the Department of War.
Yes, there's some name changes that have happened back and forth since then. But the family worked together with several lawmakers, one of whom was Kristen Gillibrand, she is a veteran and has worked literally, I think, since like 2013 to try and get some type of sexual harassment reform passed in the military. But really, would just every time would bring it up and would get knocked back down. And by bringing Vanessa's story to light, a Republican lawmaker had said, I was also assaulted in the military. I would like to take your hand. Let's do this together. So as the family, you get really hopeful, right? You're like, okay, we've got bipartisan support. We've got these folks that are willing to draft it. They're willing to like make these changes. And like, this is going to really make a huge impact. Just September, she was killed in April. 6 months later, less than 6 months later, we've got a bill on the books, hopefully, is what they're thinking.
Vanessa's family attended the press conferences surrounding the bill's announcement, emphasizing that they wanted her legacy to protect others who could not speak up. They had hoped the legislation would be signed into law on her birthday, September 30th, but partisan gridlock prevented it from reaching a vote that session. Instead, the family had to wait for the next congressional session.
So then you're like, oh, so you guys all just fought with each other and it all turned into politics? Oh, fuck. Like, yeah, that's politics for you. Like, they don't care about the human people that are suffering. It's like, well, I actually think there's a lot of the debate around this bill there. I felt like there was a lot of hypothetical situations put forth by men in the arguments.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that.
Yeah. On December 8th, 2020, the Army released the results of the Fort Hood Independent Review Committee. The investigation described a permissive environment at Fort Hood, one where harassment, abuse, and the mishandling of missing soldier cases had become disturbingly routine. Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy said the murder of Vanessa Guillen
shocked our conscience and forced us to take a critical look at our systems, our policies, and ourselves.
The Army's own report confirmed what Vanessa's family had long believed. She had been sexually harassed by a supervisor who had created an intimidating, hostile environment. In the summer of 2019, that same supervisor made an inappropriate sexual comment to Vanessa in Spanish, asking her to participate in a threesome. Later, during a field exercise, he approached her and watched while she was performing personal hygiene in the woods, what her attorney later described as showering. The Army declined to release the name of the man who harassed her. Her family later learned his identity from other soldiers, and according to their attorney, he was still serving at Fort Hood as of 2022.
Yeah, this is like a 152-page report from the military, and to be fair, it is excoriating. I mean, it goes line by line because it was a third-party committee made up of JAG attorneys, I believe paralegals, then some bureaucrats, and I gave a wide-ranging picture that literally Fort Hood is as bad as everyone thought it was, and exactly what they thought happened, and for the family to learn that the guy still had a job.
Dude, not only that, but clearly other people on base at the time knew this was happening because they're the ones that told her family, this is the guy that did it, by the way. So everyone knew, mm-hmm. or, you know, enough people knew that were, for whatever reason, scared to, or coerced into not saying anything for fear of retaliation of their own jobs.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's like they were willing to tell her family members, I think, because they're not going to get, you know, sued for defamation, or I don't even know what under the UCMJ that could be. And I guess depending on the guy's rank, if he's like a supervisor, is that some sort of like insubordination if you're telling, you know, yeah. I don't know. And that becomes the issue, is that it is such a quagmire of all these various like strange laws, like where, you know, adultery could get you kicked out. So could telling about someone, you know, so I don't,
which is wild. Yeah. Like adultery can get you kicked out. Sexual harassment and multiple approaching someone, asking for sexual things in a harassing way, spying on people, doing things that are, you know, somehow that's all, we just turn the other cheek. But I just can't believe that a place where you should arguably feel the safest, because all of the people that live there are the people that have been trained to protect our country's freedom, is one of the most dangerous places as a sergeant, as a recruit, as anything that you could be.
No, seriously.
Where you could be.
And it's an odd moral line, I would agree. But I think it's illegal for you to, it's against the UCMJ to sleep with your comrades, your fellow soldier's wife. So I think the idea is that you don't want to create infighting amongst the ranks. But to make that a consensual relationship is being punished more than, oh, I don't know, walking in on a woman showering.
Yeah. But in this case, Vanessa's the one that's being wronged by someone over her. So it's like, well, we're not going to punish him because he didn't like offend another man. He's just sexually harassing a woman.
Yeah. And it's like, well, come on, it's fine. Just get over it. He was mm-hmm. just joking around. That's how they talk to women in the military. And you're like,
well, it shouldn't be.
One of the direct quotes from the report was that sexualizing female soldiers was the norm. And a direct quote from a person on the Fort Hood base who was a female in service said, quote, everyone knows, but no one says anything.
Which is crazy, dude. Mm-hmm. And the fact that women even still want to serve after knowing all of that is equally impressive. I mean, thank you for mm-hmm. still wanting to go and put your life on the line when you know that the odds are so stacked against you before you even get there.
Mm-hmm. By virtue of nothing more than a fundamental part of who you are.
Yeah. The report clarified that the man who harassed Vanessa was not Specialist Aaron Robinson, though it found Robinson had harassed another soldier. Vanessa's family lawyer, Natalie Quam, told Netflix she believes Robinson also harassed Vanessa, while other experts have suggested Robinson may have attacked her in the middle of a sexual assault.
And that's always been the question, why, right? Why he attacked her. Cecily Aguilar stated that Vanessa had seen an image of Cecily on Robinson's phone. Cecily was married to a different soldier. Robinson, therefore, was the one that would have been punished, right? So he's the one that's sleeping with the married woman. And he could have gotten discharged. So mm-hmm. is that, to me, that doesn't seem sufficient enough for a murder, but I don't know that we're ever going to know the truth. That's no. just the version she got. And I don't think if it's your boyfriend's calling you to help you dismember and cover up a murder, he's going to go, listen, I was trying to rape this woman and yeah. she fought back. And so because, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that that's, well, you know, she saw a picture on his phone and that's why. I think given that he was a serial offender and that they said in the report that leadership repeatedly failed to identify, quote, textbooks examples of grooming and that it failed to identify and stop, quote, multiple serial offenders at Fort Hood. I'm like, you know, what's more yeah. likely?
Yeah. I unfortunately do not think Vanessa was the first person he assaulted in some sort of way. She may have been the last, but, you know, he took his own life. And yeah, like you said, I don't think we're ever going to really know the truth. I'll also say, if you're sleeping with your colleague's wife, maybe don't have your fucking phone saver picture be a picture of the two of you.
No, exactly.
Like, I'm not going to put the person I'm having an affair with as the background on my phone where anybody might be able to see that.
Right. And you're going back to her apartment. Y'all are together all the time. It's like, it's not a very well hidden secret to the extent. And also reading the report that Fort Hood was loose. Like there was really not a lot of people getting in trouble for stuff insofar as like this kind of thing. So it would be surprising to me that he'd be like, well, I've successfully sexually harassed X amount of people. But man, I'm going to really get discharged for this one photo that I've seen. And I'm so worried about getting discharged that I'm going to take a woman's life and cover it and all that. It didn't. To me, it's more of a Paul Flores, Kristen Smart situation.
Yeah. Yeah. An excuse to justify his actions.
And it is by photos of Vanessa and all of her friends and just looking at her and watching videos of her lifting. She was strong. She was very strong. So I think if she was going to fight back, it was going to be a fight. And unfortunately, due to the condition of her remains when they were found, there really was not a lot of information about other than the blunt force trauma. But if I had to imagine some sort of situation like that, the type of personality that her family has described, as well as just her physical prowess, you know, as strong as she was, it doesn't, again, the photo, see her seeing a photo doesn't fly for me.
No, I mean, just the personality anyone has to join the military, you know, that says a lot about how someone would react in a situation like that. And like we talked in the first episode, like Robinson and Aguilar were like sharing a house together. They weren't trying to conceal this affair, it seemed like.
Seemed too secret.
Everyone's on a base. You know, there's only so far you can all hide and places you can go and stuff. If she's leaving to go watch the stars at 2 a.m, like, where's the other man? Where does he think she, like, what's all really going on here?
Yeah.
This is speculation, but like, maybe they all were kind of open about it and it wasn't even that big of a deal.
Right.
But I think that, I don't think Vanessa was the first person Robinson attacked.
Yeah.
The report also found that the Army's Criminal Investigation Division at Fort Hood was understaffed and inexperienced. Only 3 of 35 agents had more than 2 years on the job, and 92% were trainees just out of the 16-week course. Interviews and Vanessa's disappearance were short and poorly documented. Evidence was never preserved from Aaron Robinson's phone, and conflicting witness statements went unchallenged. Search warrants were delayed or written incorrectly because agents didn't know how to establish probable cause. Supervisors provided no direction to investigators until weeks into the case, when higher-level officials finally stepped in and outside agencies like the FBI, Texas Rangers, and U.S. Marshals took over. Only then did the investigation break open.
And they talk about 2 or 3 different soldiers who told the CID investigators initially, like, oh, yeah, we actually saw exactly what Robinson said. We saw Vanessa go into the arms room, and then we saw her leave, and we saw her go to the motor pool. And the agents go, okay, what was she wearing? And they all had 3 different answers.
Oh, well, we all know she was wearing purple shirt and black leggings and black Nikes.
And it's like, you're now just like, and so the investigators go, oh, okay, well, that's weird. Huh. Anyway, and it's not like, well, did we want to take a minute and figure out if those 3 were told by Robinson, perhaps, to say something? Yeah. And the fact that they still confirmed that he was the last one seen with her, but we haven't taken his phone and preserved the evidence as it should have been. Like, it's truly, and the fact that the 92% of them every one of those were supposed to be agents that had a supervisor mentoring them throughout the investigation. And it was just like, go for it. Be loose. And they said they didn't really have anybody doing like clerical stuff or evidence technicians. There weren't people trained in specific. So it'd be like if you told me the FBI agent field office, there's like two agents and everybody else is recent college grads and there's no admin staff, there's no janitors, there's no, and they're all doing every job. And you're like, why did this go badly?
I wonder. Yeah. Because no one knows what the hell they're doing. So it's also really easy to get away with shit when everything's run like that.
Yeah. And they basically said that there it was apparent that no single agent had a strategic overview of her entire case, which is what you would want, right? In a homicide detective, you know, he's going to go, okay, I see the whole thing and I'm going to direct people where to go. Here, it was just everybody going, well, what are we working on today?
Yeah. Just no care for it.
Not at all. No humanity
at all.
And it also went into the really bad communications that the military had throughout this. And like they were posting podcast episodes like while she was still missing. So thankfully, the public was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it quoted actual like social media comments from the public in the report to go like, we're looking like idiots. Like people are noticing this.
Yeah. In the wake of the report, the Army announced that 14 senior leaders at Fort Hood were either fired or suspended, and another 21 personnel faced disciplinary action. It was one of the largest accountability purges in modern Army history. That same day, the Army announced sweeping new policies derived from the committee's findings. Among them was a revised absent unknown classification, establishing procedures for rapid response when a soldier's whereabouts were uncertain. This was meant to keep cases from defaulting to AWOL before a proper investigation. That same week, 3rd Corps and Fort Hood launched Operation People First, a leadership campaign aimed at rebuilding trust across ranks.
I did appreciate that the report was like, it was stupid to call her AWOL when you had her keys, her phone, her wallet, her car is parked in the parking lot, her bank card stopped being worked. Like, why would you think she ran off?
Because we don't want to investigate anything or we don't know how to investigate anything.
Always. I'm always like, it's probably someone stupid. And then you're like, no, they are, unfortunately. Sinister Hood will be right back. Here's the thing. I love my dog. I love my goose. There's two different animals. The goose is also a dog, but she's also kind of like a person. It's hard to explain. Buffy is an actual dog.
She's not a goose, though.
She's not a goose. She's like a dog, but kind of also like a person. It's really weird. So if it was up to the goose, she would eat regular human food all the time, like hamburgers, pasta, anything like that. She cannot. However, she deserves human quality food, the best quality of food, something that has protein in it that's like human grade. And she doesn't give me a side eye anymore when I'm eating human food and she's eating dog food because of Ollie.
Wanting the absolute best for our dogs, we switched to Ollie. They offer fresh, protein-packed meals made with real human-grade ingredients, a win for our dog's health. And they offer 5 tasty recipes, all slow-cooked for top nutrition, which is also a win for our dog's happiness.
Ollie makes mealtime easy and exciting for you and your dog. Their food is human grade, vet formulated, and seriously tasty. Even picky pups get excited. Although, I mean, the goose would like eat my hand if it was in her way, but it doesn't mean that she does not appreciate the high quality. Each meal is tailored to your dog's needs and comes in a perfectly portioned, no mess pack. Plus, they include that handy scoop and the fridge pup-tainer that we told y'all about to keep things fresh. The Ollie app even offers real-time health support and uses data from other dogs to keep improving. It's smart, clean, and made to actually make your life easier.
Everybody in this family wants those Ollie treats, including things that are not dogs like Petal, but she, I'll tell you, that pup-tainer withstands her snout, and good thing, because Kate loves it. She loves the snacks, the frozen meals, all of it. It really is like, the shit went sideways and we had to just eat what was in our fridge. I'm digging into some of these.
Oh, I'm happy
sorry,
to keep
Kate,
them
but we're going to split them at some point.
But it's done so. I mean, Kate runs around like she's a puppy and she is not a puppy.
No,
dude.
She's 13. Fast. She's running around like she's 6 months old for sure.
Truly. Your dog's well-being starts with their food, and that's why Ollie delivers fresh human-grade food that your dog will love. Head to ollie.com/creepy. Tell them all about your dog and use code creepy to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today.
Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box. So if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's OLLIE.com/creepy and enter code creepy to get 60% off your first box. The Army also announced an overhaul of its Sexual Harassment Assault Response and Prevention Program, or SHARP. The reforms formally began in April of 2021, emphasizing removal of investigations from direct command control and expanding survivor services. James Hellis, director of the Army Resilience Directorate, told soldiers during a training,
"What it really boiled down to is that we had lost sight of taking care of soldiers."
He also noted that SHARP wasn't being taken seriously or doing enough to keep soldiers from getting hurt.
I don't think you needed a report to tell you that, given the guy that was doing it got arrested for running a prostitution ring.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of sullies the whole name of the program when the one thing you're trying to prevent is the thing that you're using your power for evil.
No, for sure. And especially when it's, quote unquote, everybody knows it's going on. And it's like, on the one hand, the Army's like, we have this program to take care of everyone. But all the people that live in what is ostensibly a huge gated community that they can't leave, it's like, no, they fucking don't.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like being held prisoner.
Mm-hmm. I mean, truly.
In April of 2021, nearly 1 year after her disappearance and murder, Fort Hood formally dedicated a gate in Vanessa's honor. The gate, located at the entry point for the 3rd Cavalry Regiment area where Guillen had served, is now officially known as the Specialist Vanessa Guillen Gate. Vanessa's family, senior Army leadership from Fort Hood 3rd Corps, and other military and civilian guests attended the dedication. At the event, the base's commanding general emphasized that the gate serves as a visible and permanent reminder of Vanessa's service and the changes the Army committed to implementing in her name, saying,
"This gate leads to the 3rd Cavalry Regiment area. Current and future troopers will always be able to look to it as a reminder of the impact she created."
While the gate was widely welcomed as a meaningful tribute, Vanessa's family reiterated that memorialization alone wasn't enough. They stressed that real reform, legislative and procedural, was still required to prevent others from suffering as Vanessa did. As her sister noted,
"It had to take my sister's life so all of us here realize that this has been happening for decades."
No lies were told. And while it's nice to have a gate dedicated to you, you know, when you're like, "My sister's dead and y'all just kind of shit the bed on this whole thing," a gate you can really shove up your ass.
Yeah, and especially if you're like, 6 months ago, we were like, "Can we pass a law?" And you guys were all like, "I don't know, we got to discuss it. There's mm-hmm. a lot of things to discuss." And it's like, I'm glad that you wrote her name on a, you know, it just will be a cherished memory. And it's like, and still on the other side of that, horrors are happening.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the gate is a reminder of the impact she created. I hope it's also a reminder to everyone that walks through that of what has gone on at that base and continues to go on, and a reminder to not turn a blind eye. And if you see something, say something, and that people are watching out for their loved ones. You know, I mean, maybe the military isn't there, but Vanessa's family, it's still fighting for mm-hmm. her and always will, like all these cases we cover where the family has to take up the responsibility of somehow trying to get a semblance of justice.
Even on top of their grieving, yeah.
Yes. In July of 2021, a federal grand jury returned an 11-count indictment against Cecily Aguilar, including charges of accessory after the fact, destruction of records, conspiracy to tamper with documents or proceedings, and making false statements. She remains imprisoned awaiting trial.
Yeah, she, that's what I said. They start you with one charge and then they build a case around you and then go, we have a superseding indictment, actually. So I know that she like deleted stuff off of his Google Drive, things like that. So once they have, you know, that digital evidence, I think it was a matter of time before they're going to pile them on.
And she should be. Mm-hmm. She was taken to the burial site, shown her body, and then helped to dismember her body and bury it. So there's no one else that this is getting blamed on. I mean, he's dead. So, yeah, if it all gets stuck on you, well, lady, you should have said something.
I mean, it's psychopathic that she, that whole time from, you know, April 23rd to June 30th, at any point she could have picked up the phone and said, let me call a local criminal defense attorney and say, I've got some information. Will you go with me to the police and see what I can do with this information? But instead it was like, oh, maybe they won't find her.
Yeah.
Like, what in the fuck is wrong with you?
And if that's the way you're thinking and you're, you see how things operate on the base, you know, you're probably thinking, I'm going to get away with this.
Truly, especially after what I'm going to call Robinson's friends, although I'm not sure what they were, the fellow soldiers who repeated the lie that, oh, yeah, we saw Vanessa walking or whatever. It's like, hey, listen, you know, Bob, Joe and Sam told him that she walked off. So we're not, you know, I'm not a suspect. They wouldn't let me keep working if I was a suspect. Look how incompetent everybody is. We'll be fine. And, you know, baby, they found pieces is a phrase that I think will stay in my mind because he didn't say they found her. Like, you know, it's so dehumanizing.
Yeah. And also to baby, like we're going there in this phone call talking about the someone y'all dismembered.
Yeah. It's a certain level of depravity. I can't fathom. And when you see it, it's like, what do you like? Who even are you?
Yeah.
That you can do that.
The I Am Vanessa Guillen bill still made its way through committees and negotiations over the next year, as several powerful forces pushed back. Military leadership warned that stripping the chain of command of prosecutorial authority risked undermining discipline, unity, and readiness. In an op-ed for The Hill, legal scholars contended that the bill's premise rested
on faulty statistics
and argued that commanders, not civilian lawyers, should retain decision-making in military justice. At the same time, some advocacy organizations and survivors said the bill, even as introduced, didn't go far enough. Those advocates specifically pointed to the omission of a victim's right to sue the DOD, inadequate access to investigative records, and lingering command control over certain aspects of investigations.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to say this is a robust protection of victims of sexual abuse, then the ability to get access to what the records surrounding what happened to you, the ability to, even if you have a outside party that can investigate, the fact that command is still in control over certain aspects. And so if your abuser is in that chain of command, I imagine the abuser is not going to be hands off and be like, well, new rules. I certainly won't exert any influence here. It's like, no, everyone wants to save their own ass.
Yeah. And you should be entitled to be able to have your own representation that's unbiased.
Right.
And fighting for you. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's like you're trying to use your HR's lawyer to sue your company. Like, who are they working for? You know, you got to get someone that's working for you.
Absolutely. And if you go, you know, you work at a private corporation and you're sexually harassed, you can sue.
Yeah.
And if you're working at our government and, you know, the military and are sexually harassed, this was not going to let you sue.
Yeah. That's makes zero sense to the majority of us. The bill bearing Vanessa's name was folded into the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2022, signed late December of 2021. The resulting changes reflected a compromise. What stayed in were major wins, criminalizing sexual harassment under the UCMJ, mandating that prosecution decisions in sex-related assaults be made outside a soldier's direct chain of command, and requiring annual reporting on retaliation and misconduct. Under the new law, each military branch established a new Office of Special Trial, independent of the chain of command, to oversee sexual harassment and assault complaints. However, in the end, some of the bill's biggest asks didn't make it through, like a fully independent process for service members to file damage claims against the military, stronger guarantees for civilian-style transparency in investigations, and an immediate across-the-board removal of commander influence from those investigations. Advocates wanted sexual harassment investigations to be given to independent prosecutors, treating them the same way as sexual assault cases. At the state level, Texas legislatures responded with the Texas Vanessa Guillen Act, signed into law in 2021, It improved how Texas National Guard units handle sexual harassment and assault reports and required outside reporting avenues.
Anything that can help sexual harassment and abuse victims get away from their abusers, when that is like, it seems crazy, but it's like you are not only living, but you are working with your abuser. And yeah, in some cases, they are your not even direct supervisor. It might be above you, or it might be above you and one unit over, but still they're technically above you. So I understand having a chain of command for purposes of readiness, and we want to have our soldiers be, you know, in tip top shape and whatnot, but you can't let that get in the way of them actually being in tip top shape because they're being molested and harassed and, yeah, you know, abused. It's like, to me, every American should care about this. And in fact, it is insane to push back against this, because what kind of a soldier is, how good of a soldier can you be if you're literally so depressed? Her family said that she had suicidal ideations. Like, yeah, she is so sad and depressed, she doesn't want to go to work. So now my tax dollars, our tax dollars are paying this nice lady who gave up her, a lot of her free will, you know, freedom to go fight for us. And now we don't even give her the respect, yeah, of being able to safely report and not suffer continued egregious retaliation.
No, nah, it's bullshit. Some of the people that should be treated the best are getting just taken advantage of, because the military can do that. And they also don't want to tell on their own and have bad marks against themselves.
That as well.
At the state level. Oh, wait, I read that. To formalize those legislative changes, President Biden issued an executive order in January of 2022, amending the manual for courts martial. This order officially updated the UCMJ to include sexual harassment as a chargeable offense under Article 134A and codified the transfer of prosecutorial authority for sexual crimes to independent special trial counsel. By mid-2022, the reforms initiated in December of 2020 had transformed how the U.S. military and the state of Texas respond to sexual misconduct and missing soldier cases. Cecily Aguilar's team continued to fight the charges against her. They filed another motion in early 2022, arguing that her entire indictment should be dismissed on Miranda reasons, despite previously losing a similar motion aimed at her confession. This motion was also denied. On November 29, 2022, Aguilar pleaded guilty to one count of accessory to murder after the fact and three counts of making false statements or representations. On August 14, 2023, in Waco, Texas, Aguilar was sentenced to 30 years in prison, the maximum penalty permitted by her plea agreement, for her role in the covering up of Vanessa's murder.
I think that's a fair, I mean, I think a longer sentence would be even better, but given the charges, I think giving her the max under the, yeah, plea agreements.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think she is not getting out because it's federal prison. So you don't get like, oh, a little bit of time served or whatever. You have to serve pretty much day for day.
Mm-hmm. In August 2022, the Yen family submitted a $35 million claim under the Federal Tort Claims Act against the U.S. Army, alleging that Vanessa was subjected to sexual harassment, assault, wrongful death, and a failure of protection at Fort Hood. There has been no public record of a denial, settlement, or ensuing federal lawsuit as of the time of this recording.
Yeah, it's hard to sue the government at all. It's particularly hard to sue the military. And there's a specific doctrine in the, it's called the Ferez Doctrine, that I believe it said you can't sue if you are injured or killed in an incident, in an action that's incident to your service. So then the argument became, is being raped on the job, is being sexually harassed on the job, incident to your service?
It and sure shouldn't be. That shouldn't be any part of your service.
Yeah. So in 2022, I believe the Ninth Circuit in California said, we don't feel that that is incident to service. So therefore, the military is open now to be sued for this. They sued in, or they filed this claim, which is what you have to do first, is you file a claim and then the military has 6 months to respond. If they don't respond, then you can pursue a lawsuit. I'm happy to be corrected if anybody else has found stuff, but I could not find where this was either settled or otherwise, if they received a payout or if it was dismissed.
Yeah.
I think they deserve every penny of $35 million. Certainly.
Oh, 100%.
More.
Yeah. And I mean, even that, you know, anyone would give up to have your daughter, your sister back.
No, yeah. And I believe the verbatim is what Myra said. You know, she said, we're not suing because we want money. You know, we're suing because it's right.
And because they don't want other people to go through this. They see the widespread nature of just the permissiveness of this being allowed there. And really, those that are trying to help from the outside, there is a literal gate, like preventing, you know what I mean? So it's like your loved one and this whole heinous crime has happened in this gated community that you are not allowed to get into unless they say, okay, you can come in here, but you everything you have to do under their permission, which is already biased and fucked because you wouldn't be here in the first place if it wasn't.
Yeah, it's interesting that we entrust the soldiers and our service members with so much responsibility. But when it comes to worrying about their well-being, really aside from like, we'll give you a lobster if we're about to send you somewhere real dangerous. But anything that happens to you after that or before that, in fact, sorry, not our problem. And it's like that this person's given up their literal whole life. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at coda.com.
Vanessa's hometown continued honoring her memory as murals depicting Vanessa's face appeared as powerful symbols of hope and accountability in Houston's East End. One of the most well-known pieces, painted by artist Alejandro Donkey Boy Roman Jr., quickly became a gathering point for vigils and memorial marches. The city later held a Houston Day of Honor in Vanessa's name, where families of soldiers, advocates against military sexual assault, and members of the Latino community stood side by side in tribute. In 2022, the city dedicated the Vanessa Guillen Memorial Highway, a permanent landmark commemorating her life and the movement that followed. It's nice to see the city of Houston doing pretty much whatever they can to, you know, help the family, pay tribute, and make it to where her name isn't forgotten. You know, putting it on things that millions of people see every day.
Yeah, and like the, I think the post office near her high school got renamed in her honor. Stuff like that where I think people see the name and maybe in 10 or 20 years, you know, Google it because they're like, why does that name sound familiar? And then you get this whole story and you get this. And hopefully by then, we won't even need to Google it because I'm knowing her family, particularly her sister Myra, I imagine that we will not forget Vanessa's name. And having murals like that's one way to get people to be curious, you know, even just passing through.
The cultural momentum was amplified by widespread media attention. Major news outlets and investigative series began to scrutinize the culture within the U.S. Army that allowed sexual harassment to go unchecked. Vanessa's story was retold across television networks, radio segments, and podcasts, but the most significant retelling came in Netflix's 2022 documentary, I Am Vanessa Guillen. The film chronicled her disappearance, her family's relentless pursuit of truth, and the national reckoning her case ignited. By 2025, journalist John Quiñones had covered the story in an in-depth 2020 special and accompanying podcast, underscoring how the Guillen family's fight reshaped public perception of justice and safety within the military.
And I think it's one, too, when people have seen the hashtag that there is a very easily accessible Netflix documentary, you just pop it on, that obviously ends in 2022, but goes very in depth into the family's fight. And it was being filmed as they were pushing for the legislation. So you can see kind of the heartbreak they have, you know, the hope that they have in one end meeting with people, and then the heartbreak they have whenever the legislative session, you know, moves on without a law being passed. So it's a good insight into how a law gets passed.
Yeah. The impact of Vanessa's case was impossible for the U.S. Army and Congress to ignore. In response to mounting public pressure, the military began to implement new procedures for handling sexual misconduct and retaliation complaints. The Pentagon publicly acknowledged that Vanessa's death had exposed deep cultural flaws within the ranks. Although meaningful progress was made, her family and advocates were quick to remind the nation that the system was far from fixed. The proposed Sexual Harassment Independent Investigations and Prosecutions, or SHIP Act, designed to remove sexual misconduct cases from the traditional chain of command and create independent prosecutors for the military services, stalled amid political divisions. Advocates continued to push for stronger oversight, transparency, and legal protections for service members.
Yeah, I think now the same legislators are trying to say, okay, the Vanessa Guillen Act checked, you know, 5 out of 10 boxes. We got to push this other one to pat, you know, check even more boxes. And the pushback is, well, we gave you the one act a few years ago. Can't you just, I mean, isn't that enough?
It's every time you feel like you're making a few steps forward, something happens to just push it so far back that it's impossible, I imagine, as a family member fighting for your loved one to really feel like you're making a lot of progress. And if you do, then the wind is sucked out of your sails pretty quickly.
Truly. You're just like, oh, we did it, or we're about to do it. Mm-hmm. And then God knows what could come up.
Yeah. Despite these legislative hurdles, the effects of the reform movement were visible. Military records showed a sharp increase in domestic violence and misconduct prosecutions following similar procedural reforms, an early sign that accountability could indeed improve when reporting structures changed.
Yeah, I think it was a military.com article. It's linked in the sources that they were like, you know, whenever you clear a path for these things, convictions shoot up, they double or triple. And they even called one guy back who had already retired. They called him back to active duty so then he could, you know, face consequences for what he had done. So there's some positive movement in that way. It's just, given that it was like 1 in 4 or 1 in 6 or whatever, there's still not that accountability, but it is more accountability than before.
Yeah. I'm curious too, what reforms on the front end have been made? You know, instead of just waiting for someone to do something terrible and then how you treat them and how their case is handled might be different, what are we doing to prevent it from happening at all?
Yeah, that's the reporting mechanism is important, but the overall culture of, well, that's just sexualizing female soldiers is just the norm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a separate issue that I don't know that necessarily legislation is able to even address.
Yeah. In 2023, Texas officially designated September 30th, Vanessa's birthday, as Vanessa Guillen Day. The date now serves as an annual reminder of her courage and sacrifice, encouraging awareness and action around military sexual assault. The I Am Vanessa Guillen Foundation, led by her sister Myra, has become a central force for survivors, working to ensure that Vanessa's legacy lives not just in remembrance, but in tangible protection for others. In March of 2025, Vanessa's sister Myra announced her candidacy for Congress, saying she was
doing it for Vanessa.
In late September of 2025, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth stood before a room of generals and announced what he called a long overdue overhaul of the military's accountability systems. He said the Inspector General, Equal Opportunity, and Military Equal Opportunity offices would be restructured. Anonymous and repeat complaints, he argued, had, quote, weaponized those systems, slowing real investigations and distracting from the mission. From now on, he said, commanders would regain more control and complaints would move faster.
Forgive me if I am dubious of a man who was credibly accused of sexual assault and to the point that the woman had to sign an NDA.
Yeah, and it's drunk on camera more than he's not, just yelling about shit.
Yes, that is, and it called all the commanders into a single room and made a huge security snafu where that's very dangerous to do all that and drug them away from their bases. But
and it was, criticized anyone that was overweight and is now take them out of the army and gotta replace them with fitter people.
I guess so. But yeah, watching him speak about this and being like, I'll tell you what, there's too many complainants going on. I'm like, uh-oh, like... Granted, while we have the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act in law and that executive order from Biden, I don't know that the current Secretary of War or the president give a fuck. You know, if they say they want to undo all that, they're going to undo it. So it remains to be seen how much of it will be undone and in how quickly. But that was the announcement.
To many observers, the announcement sounded like a step away from the hard-won protections born out of Vanessa's death. Her case and the law that followed created new layers of independence meant to keep commanders from silencing victims. Now, Hegseth's reforms appear to turn that pendulum back toward command authority. If the new policies allow commanders and leadership more discretion to reject or filter claims before they advance, that could reintroduce a kind of gatekeeping the Guillen Act reforms were meant to block. Supporters say the changes will streamline the process and prevent abuse of the complaint system, but critics warn they could discourage survivors from coming forward, especially those who rely on anonymity for safety.
And that's the thing, too, is that women who have been in Vanessa's situation where they've been abused or harassed have said, I make my complaint. I'm told, oh, you won't be retaliated against. And then I am, because once one person knows my name, everybody knows my name. You know, I'm being whispered about or not or whatever, not given certain assignments I would have been given before. And the anonymity is vital in allowing a service member to continue to do their job effectively. Again, it all goes back to command readiness. Now, if you have that complainant who has a valid complaint, has now been exposed, I imagine that the same shit that's always happened before is going to happen again. Yeah. So it's, you know, under the guise of efficiency.
We had that Freaky Friday submission that where the OP said it was reported and the way she was treated on base was just, I think her killed me was a quote, you know, just... Imagine walking into every room and everyone's whispering about you and talking about you and giving you the side eye. And you already were assaulted. I would feel even less safe now, you know, feeling like I'm being targeted from every single angle.
Right. You don't know who you can trust, who might be reporting back stuff that, you know, that you said, did, whatever. So, and just career sabotage, right? Like people that are mad that you're, you know, ratting people out and like, also just misogyny of like a woman needs to know her place. So I fear for our current service members who might be subjected to abuse in the coming months or years because I'm worried they're not going to get the same reform, the reforms that lasted for like 3 seconds.
For sure.
Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Today, Vanessa Guillen stands as both a victim and a symbol, a reminder of the urgent need for reform and the power of persistence. Her name evokes the tragedy of a young soldier whose dream to serve her country ended in violence, as well as the enduring fight for change that she inspired. From murals in Houston to legislation in Congress, from grassroots marches to a global streaming documentary, Vanessa's life and legacy have transcended the tragedy of her death. She became a catalyst for a national reckoning, one that continues to demand that the military and the nation it serves live up to the ideals of justice, respect, and integrity that Vanessa believed in when she first put on her uniform. So what do we think?
Man, like you said in part one, this is definitely going to be one that sticks with me. And it is an ongoing legacy that her family has set up for her. I don't think when Vanessa said, I want to serve my country, that she envisioned it would be like this.
No.
But what is a, you know, like what's a bigger form of service than becoming the platform for which people who have suffered can now come forward, get the catharsis of telling their story, and in the mass of stories that can be told simply because of your name, that hopefully that it will be an overwhelming amount of push for change. Like even if they take some of the prior safety measures away, you know, in the short run, that in the long run, there are enough of us that say, no, fuck you. That law was passed for a reason. Those protections were put in for a reason. Go read the 152-page PDF that Fort Hood, the committee, put out. It needs to happen. And Fort Hood was not an anomaly. I mean, I think it was particularly egregious because it is so big, but as we've seen from the hashtag alone, it's not the only place where shit like that was happening. So I hope that her family does not have to suffer by watching more soldiers be subjected to what Vanessa was subjected to. And in fact, you know, will they get to look proudly on the 20th anniversary of the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act and see that not only has it been, you know, reauthorized multiple years in a row, but that it's been bolstered and improved, you know, as the years go on.
Yeah, to that point, I mean, one of the Freaky Fridays we got was she was stationed in Alaska and said there was about 25 members. So you have a base that's that small compared to one of the biggest in the world, and the same things are going on. So it really is, yes, just by numbers alone, going to happen more often at Fort Hood, but it's happening everywhere, and it's just – it's one of the most egregious things that, again, we are asking these people to give up so much to, quote, fight for our freedom. And then this is the way they're treated amongst their own, no less. Zero respect, zero justice, kind of almost this is what you signed up for type of attitude. So just deal with it.
No, that's what I don't understand. And we should look to how veterans are treated when they come home. I mean, look at the current treatment of the cuts to the VA, services that our veterans desperately need, mental health support. But the report said one group of soldiers compared being sent to Fort Hood as being more of a deployment than Kuwait. And multiple said they, quote, felt safer in Afghanistan than at Fort Hood. So the fact that our literal service members who have been to Afghanistan and could tell you how dangerous when undergoing an active war zone, and the fact that a place that's, you know, an hour's drive from our capital of Texas is worse than that.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. It's not, hey, fatties, we got to roll back some of those things that we've been doing. It's way more that the law didn't even go far enough. And there's more that needs to be done.
You're not even in adversarial regions. I mean, allegedly, you're not in another foreign, you know, these aren't foreign adversaries. You're on your own base. And you're saying, I feel less safe here than I would stationed in a foreign country fighting a war.
No, truly. And to clarify, too, like, it's not now the law has been passed and that's great. It's better, but it's not perfect. Some still don't report when they're being abused or harassed because under the new law, there's an independent panel, like we said, that does the investigation. The chain of command is still informed if it's not able to be an anonymous complaint. So the commanders don't have the power to stop an investigation, but what's going to happen to the person who filed the complaint?
Yeah. I mean, people are always like, why didn't you tell the cops just on the outside of the military? And there's a million reasons why a victim of rape, sexual assault, abuse might not go to the police. When you're in the military and maybe the military police are the ones abusing you, where are you supposed to go at all? How would you feel like you have any type of support or can say anything? I would feel like, well, I either put up with this or I get out of the army, which how do you even do that? Get dishonorably discharged? I'm not really sure how all of that works, but I know it's hard to get out once you're in, even if you really, really, really want to.
No, truly. And you're 100% right. The report said there was such a pervasive amount of abuse and harassment that there was so many soldiers going AWOL. They literally just ran off. They were like, whatever, come after me. Cut my benefits off. I don't care. Like, I would rather not be here. I would literally rather run away.
The only way I can get out is to literally like abscond under the cover of night.
Right. So I hope that we don't see an erosion of what's already been done. You know, you hate to see two steps forward, one step back. But the fact that there's, you know, at least independent trial counsels that are able to look at this and help folks that are still, you know, beholden to serve the country that doesn't really bend over backwards as I think it should to serve them back.
No, not at all.
We said in part one, they were never going to take me in the first place. So anybody that they will take, I appreciate you signing up and I appreciate you doing it. And I hope, absolutely. And I think you deserve the world. Like I said, because even if I wanted to, they weren't going to take me.
Yeah, my hat's off to everyone that serves and continues to want to serve, given all of the information that we have, especially if you're a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a true act of bravery and wanting to serve your country. And I'm sorry that the system has failed so many of you so many times and continues to do so, because the only reason they do is because they can get away with. You mean, if you make the rules, you don't get in trouble for breaking them.
Absolutely. And if you look around and see there's rules, but no one's really enforcing them, I think you get that permissive culture. So if anybody has served or knows anybody that's serving at Fort Hood, which for like 2 seconds was called Fort Cavazos, but now has been renamed back. Speaking of changes that get done and undone. But if you serve there or know anybody that served there, I would be fascinated to know whether since this law has been changed, there have been changes in the culture around Fort Hood. If there is like more rule following, there's more ability to report, or if it's sort of like, we named the gate after, but whatever, everything's still the same.
Yeah. What are the vibes like? Are people more respectful? Do people feel safer? Or is it just pomp and circumstance and smoke and mirrors?
Well, you know, and say like, well, the cameras are here, so I'm going to be nice to the family. But then when the bill comes, no thanks. So.
Never mind. Yeah, for sure. Send in your stories, as always, to Freaky Friday about anything, but especially if you've got something involving harassment within the military or maybe insight into any of the things we've discussed over the past two episodes.
Absolutely. Or if you are in the military and completely separate from anything we're out and saw, I don't know, an alien or something, Bigfoot, whatever.
Any type of
happy military stories happy military are welcome as well. I mean, I'm not telling you only send in a message, but if you did have a situation, we were happy to share that story. But also, you travel the world, you see things, I'd love to hear about it.
If you are willing to tell us what you saw at Area 51, I won't say your name out loud, I promise.
We'll tell them that you're my daughter, Anonymous. It's fine.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials so you can join for a week at any of the tiers, check out the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. Tonight, October 22nd, is probably the perfect time to do this because you can join for a free trial at the Getting Into It tier, which is the highest tier. Go to the bonus content live stream, hang out with us tonight, and then check out everything else, binge it for the next week. And you can cancel before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stay, do an annual membership so that you get a month for free, and then you get a bunch of other stuff too.
Yeah, you get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole World Wide Web.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you to everybody who's left 5 stars and kind words. You can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access. You'll also get immediate access to a whole backlog of free content that we put up on Patreon just for saying, hey, thanks for being a free member.
Yeah.
Also on our website, you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and... there's 4 rooms left, and that's probably less now. But tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2025, get them while you still can. There's a whole Discord channel over in our Discord for people that are looking for roommates or just connecting of, like, who's going to be there. So you know what friends to look for on the high seas.
And you can plan outfits together, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to whatever accomplishment you got going on, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a great gift. It's thoughtful. And basically, you don't even have to get out of your house to do it. Mm-mm. Not to mention Saturday, October 25th through Friday, October 31st, we have a spooky season sale on Cameo. Ooh. Going on. And the spooky season sale, what is that? It's $25 per Cameo video. It is it's a great time to get it because we're spooky people.
Half off.
Yeah,
so that's a good deal.
So we're spooky people. So that's beginning Saturday, October 25th at 11 a.m. And it ends on Halloween at the end of the Halloween night. So yeah. Get yours now.
I like the idea of normalizing Halloween presents.
Yeah, we should. You know? Come on now.
Like last year, Ella was like, why can't we have a Halloween tree, but we have a Christmas tree? I was like, I got no good answer. So now we're going to have a Halloween tree and we got to give Halloween gifts. But, you know, if Halloween is your holiday, let it be just that. You know, you don't have to wait for birthdays or anniversaries or anything to give a gift. Sometimes you're just like, hey, spooky bitch, I'm thinking of you. And here are these 2 spooky bitches to tell you that.
Anytime's a good time for spooky bitches. Where can everybody find you on the internet? At spooky bitch.
At spookybitch.com. I'm trying to get that one. But right now I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm all across all the websites and apps at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey everybody, thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts. Kristen Campbell.
Ashrita.
Nicole Kingsbury.
Max Cram.
Lyle.
Jean.
Nicole Lynn.
And Miranda Checker. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We love you so much. We hope we pronounce your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient unlocked. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters.
On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.